This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
It was me and Lucas.
Yeah.
Brothers.
Yeah.
And we are doing alt comedy at the Children's Hospital.
Doing what?
We're doing this, like, their specific brand of comedy where they talk very slow.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, like, I was, like, smoking weed with my brother the other day and I thought I was having an out-of-body experience. But it turned out that we were just twin brothers. And the kids are... The kids are interested. And we got some other... Brett Gelman was there. He did 10,000 Cats. Or he does all 10,000
Cats.
So the comedy
is outside the mainstream somehow.
Yes. For most of the
time... But it's still funny?
It is just... It's either longer or quieter.
Do people know
the
about
normal
this?
Stuff? It's these kids that really love it.
Oh man,
it's little kids.
And is it?
And so we go to the hospital. We go to the hospital.
Or?
We make the yes because it's so random. We go to the hospital to make the kids laugh. And the kids are like more like studying it than laughing. You know, it's not like they're like.
And am I doing? Am I doing it now? If I just go like. Let me think about something. Like, I go like, oh, boy, this glass of water, sure. Hope it doesn't get up and walk around.
Yes, that's it. That's really good. Yes. And what I sort of do, it's not really so all too much as like confessional comedy. I just go up there and just like rip my heart. You know that. I mean, like, yes.
I have seen you expose your soul.
And so with the kids, I just take my heart out and show it to them. And I talk about, I'm seeing this girl.
She means the whole world to you.
Yeah.
And you don't even know if she thinks you exist.
But she looks, you know, I've seen her and I know it's because she like looks like my mom. And like, does that mean that I want to like sleep with my mom? Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
like,
you
know, like all the, like, just like ripping it out and showing it to these kids.
Yeah.
And they're laughing. And it's making them
Artemis Rex
not sick anymore.
Yeah. I used to do a confessional brand of comedy. Which was I would do a joke and then I'd do 10 Hail Marys.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook. Twists and turns of Hollywood stories and handbooks. Insider's guide to the twists and turns that are the biz we call show biz from three guys who know what is what.
Twists and turns is in the wrong
place.
So let's start over.
In the introduction.
And we only say biz twice.
One, two, three. Hey! Welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to the twists and turns
of the biz
that we call show biz. From three guys who know what fur. What up, what up?
What up? So Hayes' friend Tom is here.
It's an exciting day. We, for a while, Tom Sharpling used to come on the show all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I had grown worried about you.
Sure.
I reached out.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You came here very fast.
Very fast.
And
remember Very Fine Juice?
Yeah.
I just love to trip out on nostalgia.
All the different juice.
Clearly Canadian. You remember that drink?
Yes. Yeah.
Remember
Sparkly.
Boku.
Oh, no. Those boxes are a little too big.
I don't remember that.
Richard Lewis did these commercials where he's like, they want me to drink this juice, Boku. I'm doing a commercial for Boku. And then you're just like, oh, that was the commercial. He wasn't just moaning about a commercial he got hired to do. That was just the commercial for the juice.
I believe you that I'm saying I don't remember it. Okay. I believe you that it's a real.
It was sort of the early version of the Honda commercial that happened during the Super Bowl where the guy just looked for a while at the camera.
And then was like,
Tide
Pods. That guy. They're all Tide Pod commercials.
Tide Pods.
Tide Pods.
We're glad that you're here.
Thanks for having me here. It's great to be here. It feels like the puzzle pieces have clicked back into place.
It's good. Hayes didn't check with me before he reached out, but at the same time, here you are, and we're doing the show.
And I will say I didn't reach out explicitly saying, please come on the show. That became part of the conversation very quickly. Sure. I don't remember initiating it specifically. I'm very excited that you're here and that you are fine.
And if I had either of your emails or phone numbers, I would have reached out.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I talk to Hayes, it says private, and I've yet to speak to Sean on the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if you spoke to me, it'd say Colonel, because I outrank Hayes. You know what I mean?
No.
But, it's, you know, contractually we have to make a bunch of episodes anyway, so it's awesome you're here.
Thanks for having me here. It's great to be back.
Do you want to talk about what you've been –
it's probably quicker if I talk about what I'm not up to at this point.
Sure, let's start there.
You know, the usual best show, still killing it every Tuesday night.
Wait, this is what you're not up to?
No.
You said version was to talk about what you're not up to.
That was a joke.
Okay.
Come on. Get with it. These are jokes. These are the jokes, son. Get with it.
Yeah, I'm a little out of touch with comedy stuff. Hayes has been catching me up on what's going on in the scene.
No, I'm not really used to this, Tom. Tom is really cracking wise a lot more than I remember. Yeah.
So, yeah, best show, killing it every Tuesday, just showing everyone how it's done. Got a Friends recap podcast blowing up, Untouchable.
Yes.
And then more.
So I haven't. I haven't heard that stuff. I have heard a lot of the stings from the Friends podcast. Mm-hmm. Those have gone viral, just the sort of little music cues that you use.
Yeah.
Those are blowing up.
But look, the whole thing's blowing up. It depends where you check it out.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a Friends message board, they can't get enough of it. You go to like some sort of audio geek thing, they're talking about the production quality on the thing. Everybody's just getting off on this thing from all angles.
Yeah, a special thing had a big write-up, I understand. Mm-hmm. You sent me the link, but when I clicked it, I got a virus.
I'm sorting that out with the guys over there. It's talking to ILIS, who, and Embiggum, and we're getting to the bottom of all the techie stuff over at AST.
Mm-hmm.
Is there I don't want to spoil anything for the show, but you think about, like, Gilmore Guys and these, like, very big recap podcasts, they got, like, the whole cast.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually got even, like, a reunion show, got the show to come back for a little while.
Sure.
I don't know. Like, is there anything with the cast? Are you talking to any of them about?
A few lines have been cast. And, okay. I'm not going to say too much about it now because there's six of them.
Right.
And it just don't want to. It's an all or nothing kind of thing. It's like you can't do it with five.
You're going to have all of them on.
Unless
or
any of them.
Zero.
No, at once.
No, I know. That's
and the goal, look, the goal is I'm going to write a reunion episode and we'll do it as an audio production.
A live audio reunion episode.
Kind of like the Wolverine, which is coming to Scripps Plus or whatever that thing's called.
Okay. I don't know what that is. But
Wolverine, you know him, snicked.
They're going to say that on the.
It's going to be snicked. I auditioned for that also to be the guy who did the sound effects. Yeah,
it was kind of like. Snicked, bub.
Here comes Wolverine. Snicked.
Snicked, bub.
Yeah. Hey, bub, snicked.
I'm the best at what I do, but what I do, snicked.
Yeah. And.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you weren't able to get that. I think it was just that I was so nearby that they decided to go with some of my stuff, which is here's Wolverine walking up. Thum, thum,
thum, thum. So you doubled it.
And here's the snicked. Snicked. It's kind of a secret.
Okay. And then you're like, are those claws? Oh!
Mm-hmm.
What the hell's coming out of his head? Oh!
So, Tom.
Yeah?
You haven't been on the show in over a year.
That's not exactly true. I was on the – we did the 200th together, which was kind of a
– Right. You called biggie. Into the 200th uh-huh. episode.
I remember co-hosting that one with you guys. It was a sweet honor.
Right. And the pretense of all this seems to be that you consider yourself a very big part of the show, effectively the third co-host.
Well, I wouldn't even want to put a number on where any of us rank in this. There are three. And, I mean, some would probably say Hayes, Sean, Tom, Sean, Hayes. I don't want – that's not my place to do. I just do the show. Mm-hmm. It's like I really – That's what the boards are for.
Well, guys. It is Hayes, Sean, Tom.
Uh huh.
It is Hayes, Sean, Tom.
Okay. Well,
that is the.
I've
order.
Seen. I've seen.
Some may say a lot of things. Some mm-hmm. people say the freaking.
I don't. You know.
It's not for me to decide. I just do this. I am the thing. See, that's the thing. I am the thing. I don't comment on the thing. I am the thing. It's like when you get some dipshit who's mad about like that a baseball player doesn't care about baseball, and then it's like they don't need to. They are a baseball. Like, they don't know who Ted Musial is. So they don't need to. They are baseball.
Stan. They are a baseball? Is that what you said before?
Yeah, they don't know who Ted Musial is. And then they
Stan
what's that?
Musial.
Who?
Stan Musial.
Who's that?
Okay, you a baseball player now?
I'm doing comedy. I'm doing comedy again.
He's
come on.
He's cracking wise. Again, woo! This is really something I'm not used to, but you will trap you.
It's an odd variation on the who's on first routine that you say Ted Musial and then you say who's that.
Mm-hmm.
And it – to me, doesn't feel like it has as many places to go.
Uh huh.
But I haven't seen the whole routine yet. You keep telling me there's more to come.
It's more about capturing a victim and getting someone to correct him, and then he says, "I'm razzing you," and then he does like he pretends to rev a motorcycle
mm-hmm.
with his hands, and he makes a police siren noise,
which is probably something I should have done at the Wolverine audition.
Yeah.
The motorcycle.
Yeah, he's on that thing a lot.
I'm out of here. Snicked.
Yeah. Although instead it's, I'm out of here. Snicked.
Man, you got it. I can see why you got it.
It's just a play on what you expect.
Mm-hmm.
Look, comedy's nothing but surprises. I don't got to tell you that.
No, you don't.
You're the first guy who ever surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
You said, I'm doubling down on these podcasts. I'm going to start even another one.
Yeah. I see an opening in the field. Not enough. Room for one more. Mm-hmm. Let me squeeze it in there.
Now, what are you doing anything else while you're...
Well, that's a good question.
Uh-huh.
Am I doing anything else? It's probably shorter for me to say what I'm not doing.
Okay. Well, let's hear it.
Well, actually, Ted, that's a joke. So, okay. What I am doing.
I wish we had a hand signal or something.
Like while you're in LA, just like, is there anything?
I just like to hang out, see friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
The show.
Thanks for bringing that back. And that's, people should check the Friends podcast I do out. Thanks for the plug.
Is it? Have you gotten the first result on the Google search term "Friends" podcast yet? I know that was something you were really
that's going
for. Would
that's
people
not
Google
going
Friends
as
podcast,
well?
Getting to that first page.
Yes. The problem is that about 4 months ago, and I did not know this, that Matt LeBlanc started a podcast, and I'm kind of it's throwing the whole algorithm off.
Where he's going through every episode. I hear he's like two episodes ahead of you.
It's pretty tight.
So a lot of people who love Friends, when they listen to the newest episode of your show, they have often just heard Matt LeBlanc talk about it. And he is telling very good stories that really only he and the other Friends would know.
Yeah. Well, it's also tricky because he mentions he did that show episodes.
Yeah.
And in the thing, it says Friends episodes, podcasts. Mm. And then it goes to because Matthew Perry is doing a recap show of the show episodes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Where he's going through. And he's more where I'm at. He doesn't
I like
have the
that better stories. because with LeBlanc, I almost think he's too close to it.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. When I listen to his Friends podcast, it almost feels alienating that he's always describing like, well, you know, at this point we're on stage B. And I'm thinking, I don't know what that means, yeah. Matt. You know, but yeah. When Tom says it, he goes, they were in the Monica's apartment. And that, yeah. To me, is more where I have access to the show.
I'm glad you feel that because I feel the same way about it. I feel like there is a – if you go look at a painting and you get too close to it, you don't see the whole painting. And I feel like –
oh, pointillism. Pointillism. And this is such an important thing to talk about, and especially in the world of podcasts, that, look, the audience is a participant. And the thing is different when it's being enjoyed. The mm-hmm. way people listen to a show like this – if you were to just hear this episode, for instance, it might sound like a total mess, you know? But in the scope of the entirety of all the episodes we've done,
sure.
You start to get enough distance to see,
yeah.
Oh, wait, these guys
that's
are really doing
something.
That's why
people say you have
something.
To listen to so many episodes to enjoy it. It's because they are forming a
well, this,
picture
this
of a
episode
dog.
Is a red dot. And
yes.
Then we're going to do a blue dot very yes. close to it, and then a red, and then a blue. But then when you look, you'll see a much richer violet
yes.
than you ever would if we had just
sure.
done a purple episode.
I will say I am really enjoying the show, Tom, and people ask me all the time. I mention the show, and you should listen to the show. And they ask me, do I have to like the show Friends to listen to it? And I say, yes, you do. You have to be very familiar with the show.
See, I feel like that might be some faulty info.
Not my experience. Uh-huh. I am very well versed in the show. I've seen every episode, but probably like a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think I would enjoy it more if I had just seen every episode.
Sure.
Like within the past year. That's who I think it's really for. People who have seen every episode of Friends within the past
mm-hmm.
year and
I
have read like some books about
for.
It.
Yeah, they should have read books and they should have dug up the Entertainment Weeklies from that period
some
where they were really all
to
over
get
on
Gleiberman's review of
yeah,
each
you're
going to
want Gleiberman's, you're going to want Schwarzenbach. I mean, mm-hmm. you're going to want, you know, Ken Tucker and all those guys to sort of like get in there and just mm-hmm. Slap you around with some hard facts.
Yeah, well,
and Joey
friends.
Would help.
I'm
a rich understanding of Joey. I don't have that, and sometimes on your show, I'm lost.
Yeah, mm-hmm. When you bring up Drea De Mateo and sort of her involvement in the Friendsiverse, mm-hmm. I sometimes will go, I don't remember this Joey. Let me go back and watch it. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I can,
sure.
But not everyone has that privilege.
Yeah, none of this is required to see.
Okay.
You can just listen to the thing, enjoy the thing. The thing is its own thing.
And I keep not being able to catch when Tom's doing a joke, uh-huh. But I do think I'm ahead of this one.
Uh-huh.
So picture me. I sit down to listen to the Friends podcast,
yeah.
But I haven't seen Ed, the first movie uh-huh. to come out of the Friends cast, post-Friends, uh-huh. where Matt LeBlanc is part of a baseball mm-hmm. team with a monkey
for a
pitcher.
Hold on, don't take my picture, boy.
Okay.
Who?
Okay. This is Chef Kevin.
Uh-huh.
I know you haven't really been around the show in a while, because mm-hmm. the last one, you haven't been in this studio in
no.
a very long time. Uh-huh. Chef Kevin he's taken on this sort of little increasing role on the show. He was an intern, production
what's
coordinator.
His name?
His name is Chef Kevin.
Chef Kevin.
Yes, it's like a little uh-huh. bit that we do.
Oh, okay.
Kevin, do you want to say hi? Cute.
Hey, guys, Chef Kevin here.
See?
What's that?
That's like his thing. It's
oh,
like
that's his thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
He has like – every time he comes on, he mm-hmm. says, hey, guys, Chef Kevin here. Mm-hmm. And we play off him and like we can throw to
oh,
him
okay,
sometimes.
Okay.
And he okay. just has developed this
well, you
little –
can, you can skip that today. It's not necessary.
I'd rather not.
Needed.
Fans really like Chef Kevin. He's almost sort of an honorary third host of the uh-huh. show in a lot of
well,
ways. We do the ads with him all the time. And
this
oh,
could
okay.
be fun if they kind of got to
who
know each
oh,
other.
Oh, yeah,
a little bit.
The two of them.
Yeah. So, Chef Kevin, sometimes we would just like throw him a question or something. Do you have any like questions for Tom or anything?
Yeah. What's your greatest strength? Take your time.
I got to just say, I'm not here to talk to you. And don't take this the wrong way. And it's not meant to be rude to you. I'm sure you serve a very important function here. I mean, you had a camera.
Yeah, cracking people up.
You were hanging a camera down at crotch level, taking creep shots of everybody in the room.
Yeah, that is.
And I don't know if that's a thing they know about, if you're hiding the camera from them or not. I don't know. I actually don't care.
That's part of his bit.
Is he like does creep shots?
The creep shots thing is like part of his.
Okay, cool. Well.
Yeah, people now really look forward to it. We used to give him a hard time about it, but it's actually become part of the fabric of the show.
Cool, and, cool. Well, you can ride the pine on this one, Chef Kevin. It's.
I think there's room on the show for – and honestly, he fits in – to whatever shape is available to him.
What I love about having Kev come
then
in.
If you fit into whatever shape, why don't you flatten yourself out and go under the door?
I'll try.
That would kill him.
Well, I'm not the one who said he can flatten himself into any shape.
No, Kevin. No. He said he's like water.
Uh-huh.
And he said whatever shape the show takes on, Kevin will fit himself to it.
All right.
So you say flatten himself out? That would kill him. That's disgusting.
Uh-huh. All right, look.
And it smush his guts
let's
everywhere.
Let's just do –
No, let's not.
No.
It would smush his guts everywhere.
Okay. All right, fine. Don't put yourself under the door
and
flatten
yourself. You going to pay for the cleaning bill, Tom?
I'm saying –
I came here with a very – what?
I'm saying we can do a I think a segment with the two of you, two sort of beloved characters from the show.
I'm not a character.
From the world of the
show. I'm a human being. Not that you're not a human being, Chef Kevin.
All of the characters are human beings. We've had half of them on this show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But.
And a line on another one. Getting close. Very.
Netflix, the characters.
Netflix, the characters.
Well, let's get back. See, now the whole rhythm of the thing's thrown off. Right? Yeah. Yeah, it is. I go, am I the bad guy now? I'm the bad guy because I take offense that is
– I will say –
No, man, I'm the bad guy. I'm the one that told a human being to flatten himself out, smush his guts everywhere.
And just for a different perspective on it, I think the show is feeling a little disjointed. It was hard to
– It had a great flow going. We had a fun flow going.
I tried to save it by basically saying from a pointless perspective that – You know, the show was going well.
And
but
nobody,
as I was doing it, I was going like, what is this?
And nobody cares more about this stuff than me. My job is to keep the thing like a coherent episode. I'm the host. I'm looking at it from 10,000 feet. I'm putting all the ducks in a row. Yeah. I'm checking the boxes. So I'm like, okay, now we're at this point in the episode. I'm giving it a nice little arc.
Yeah.
People don't see me doing these things, but I'm doing them. But with the way it has been going so far, it feels like there's like an energy in the room that was a little – aggressive that with Kevin here, I think we can kind of like balance that out.
See, all due respect, it's just like the way I look at it is always when I do this thing, it's a Hayes first at bat gets on base with a single or a walk, kind of Sean, solid single, first and third, maybe.
Okay.
And then I come up swinging the bat, right? Knock you all in. Right?
But what if I get you on base and you hit a grand slam?
See?
Whoa, and see how he's willing
to
sort of...
Okay, then you're up next and you get hit by a pitch in the face.
Then at least we score,
still,
right?
And it's still,
And then you're going to the hospital, but we'll put in a pinch runner.
But that's his that's his attitude.
That he gets hit in the face with a pinch.
He's willing to do that.
Yeah. There's no way this kid contributes to the show. What do you do on the show, boy? Do what you do on the show, boy. I want to see this.
I do Blue Apron ads with the guys. They'll ask me questions, and I'll answer
Chef
them.
Kevin.
He's sure.
Part of that.
Are we doing a Blue Apron ad now, boy?
We could.
Okay, please stop calling him boy.
Makes me uncomfortable.
Do a Blue Apron ad now, boy.
Okay. How about, like, kid is, if it has to be anything.
And I think we'd all be a little more comfortable with Jack.
Yeah. Yes. anything else.
Let's hear the ad.
Hey, guys. Chef Kevin here. That's right. I'm working on a Blue Apron playground where I'm taking the food.
But you're not. You're sitting in a chair talking anything. So you're lying
it's
to
a
the
– fun, like, little
– Is it fun?
The show's really light and fun. I mean, that's always been at the heart of it. Is you know why we wanted to start doing this show, Tom?
I know. I know because I am the show. I know. I know why we wanted to start doing the show.
Okay.
Was to have some lighthearted fun about things that we
about
just
things
love,
we love.
That we love, Tom.
Yes.
And to sort of celebrate that and to just thankfully, you know, at long last, nerd out without being afraid.
Yeah.
That the bullies were going to come in here.
Sure, no, and I'm not a bully, and I'm
it's a nice.
I've never
show.
Thought, but it also the bummer is when you get a thing right, and then there's just one thing, just fucking the whole thing up. You know what I mean? Just it takes just one element, one person, and then the whole thing's just.
I will say to you, you know, we love having you here.
Yeah,
you first showed up, I think, for episode 91.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We had at that point already established.
We were at minimum finding our feet.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the feet showed up. Oh, and then suddenly the thing came together.
Yeah, I guess you were kind of setting that up for him.
You guys, look, no offense. And again, I'm going to just preface this by saying it's been about 2.5 years since I've listened to an episode of the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the last one I heard was when you guys had – was it Carlos Mencia in here?
Your lips to God's ears, buddy.
Who was it?
I'd love to bag a big fish like Mencia. Yikes. Have a mind like that.
We have not had him. I struggle to think about who you are thinking of.
Any guess from me is going to be pretty
I'm thinking
ill-received.
Of WTF. I'm so sorry. I'm thinking of WTF.
Oh, okay. You were the show you were listening to was WTF.
Yeah, well, he was on that.
That was the last show of ours that you listened to.
It's the last podcast I listened to.
The Carlos Mencia episode of WTF.
I've not listened to a podcast since.
Okay.
So we've had a good thing going here.
Good
you guys
one to go out on.
What's that now?
Just a good one to go out on. If you're just going to listen to one and kind of hang it up, I'd say the Carlos Mencia WTF is probably.
And I just take it. I take offense.
None taken.
See how Chuck
no,
Kevin's
I take
waiting?
Offense. Not none take. I'm not. And that's what is that what he does on the show here? Is that what
that
Chef
is
Kevin
kind of
does?
What he does. Uh-huh. I will say he didn't do a great job with the Blue Apron ad. He couldn't think of anything, and he started doing one that was like just kind of a half-baked version of one that we already did. So
I'm going to zip my lips.
That's
and
not
I wanna,
the best example.
I'm going to give you Chef Kevin the floor. I want to see what you do when you're just in your element and you're just killing. Go.
I think me and my
is
element.
Is this the ad now, boy?
Oh, God.
I think me and my element is like contributing to the show. I try to think of myself of like someone I have the most assist on the team. I'm not trying to score all the points, you know, like
or any.
So you can't
shoot
is what you're
or
saying.
Any point.
Yeah. You can't
and
shoot.
Maybe not that many assists.
You're saying you can't shoot. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, I'm okay
right?
with that.
You got a
that.
Janky shot, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, the team's going to get exploited on that.
But when we get tired, it's safe to give him the
ball.
We got
Alonzo Ball up in here, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Kid's got a janky shot. So
sure,
he passes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, comes across his body. Takes a little longer to put it up.
Yeah.
So,
Very blockable.
This is what you contribute to Hollywood Handbook?
Oh, Kevin.
Oh, I'm in the hot
Chef
seat
Kevin,
now,
please.
Right?
Chef Kevin.
This is what you can do, baby, baby.
Ugh,
this kid sucks. Guys.
If you use that cadence, he's going to get you every time.
Let me just talk to you. Look, real talk, guys.
Okay, let's get real.
Real talk. This kid sucks.
I know.
I will agree that sucked.
Just did suck.
That definitely sucked. Yeah.
And this a lot of his stuff sucks.
He's bringing the show down.
That I don't think is.
It's not all like this.
Actually happening.
I've heard him chicken out on a Blue Apron ad and then just say, I passed the ball. And then he just said, is that what you did? That's what he's added to the show. So he's knocked me off my game. He knocked me out. I came in here loaded for bear. I came in here hot as shit, and I was killing it. And then this kid now I don't even know which way is up. I was locked in. I've been drinking cold brew all day. I am fired up for this. I've been writing lines like crazy for today's show.
Heavy pour on the cold brew, and you do have several notebooks that and have he a comes lot of good
in,
stuff.
And I come in ready for my, what, 10th appearance on this show?
I guess you were throwing right? heat. Yeah, I haven't right? counted your appearances. Yeah. 10 sounds high to me, but, yeah. you know, what do
well,
I
I'll count them. I've done 2 live shows.
Tom, can I be real with you for a second?
Okay, I'm scared.
Sure, Chef Kevin.
I'm sorry I got mean. I'm normally not like that. I'm normally not put in a hot seat like this. Mm-hmm. And I panicked.
Well, this is podcasting, kid. This is podcasting.
Boy.
No, they asked me to call you kid, okay. So I'm upgrading you. Okay. See, I'm trying to mend fences here, okay? They said call him kid, so I'm calling you kid, all right?
Thanks.
So this is podcasting, kid. You feel like you're in the hot seat. Every second on the mic is a hot seat. You got to remember that. This is war. This is literally war. You know, people talk about what people throw that around and it's rude and insulting to people that actually fight in war. In this case, it's not. This is war. Life or death. You step in front of that mic, you could die if you don't watch your back.
In some ways, and the stakes are even higher.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If it's actually the only thing that's insulting, war is insulting to podcasting.
Because the stakes are in a lot of ways even higher.
And none of them could do it.
Yeah.
None of them could do this.
So this is
Whereas
war, kid.
Hayes and Chef Kevin probably both could do a war.
Mm-hmm.
But none of the war guys could probably do a real podcast.
No.
Especially, and I'll say this for you, mm-hmm. to like do it by yourself
mm-hmm.
for 3 hours
yeah.
at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
None of those guys could do that.
No. So listen to me, kid.
Hey, there's only one thing I can do for 3 hours by myself at a time.
What's that?
sleep, Tom.
Okay.
And he's not sleeping.
And I'm not talking about sleeping.
His eyes are closed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But he's not sleeping.
And I'm unconscious, but yeah, I am not sleeping.
And he is resting on his side while he's doing it.
Uh-huh. But one hugger pillow, one pillow between the knees, and another one under my neck, but I'm not sleeping.
But he's not asleep.
Oh, and my alarm does go off at the end.
So what did you want to know?
What did I want now?
What did you want to know?
What your greatest strength is, because you're kind of throwing me for a curve yourself.
Uh-huh.
Like,
oh my God.
I was thinking of a new thing.
I started listening to WTF Postman CS, so now I'm trying to like understand how to interview people.
Mm-hmm.
What's your greatest strength? What's your greatest weakness?
He read Marin's book.
Yeah, all the mm-hmm. quotes about mm-hmm. episodes.
Mm-hmm.
He's always running around here quoting Thinky Pain. Every time I think I'm out, he friggin' sucks me back in with another observation from Thinky Pain. So, you know, Chef Kevin, I guess, is something of a student of comedy.
Sure.
So okay. We might not want to dismiss him. At worst, he could be somebody who could listen to something that's like what you do.
Look, guys, we've been doing this show for a long time, right?
Yeah, yeah, and 25 minutes or so.
No. But 25 minutes. We're hours deep in the thing. Some of the episodes we've done are classics. I've done episodes of Hollywood Handbook that are all-timers that I'm on more of than you, Sean.
There was one
right?
that Sean wasn't on that was,
There's
a,
one.
That was a big yeah. hit. Yeah.
If anything, that's the one that put the show on the map.
Mm-hmm. Made that's some right, end-of-year yeah. lists, as I recall.
Yeah. That's Best right. of. But look. I've been doing this. What I'm trying to say is I've been doing it a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you were saying, we were talking about with LeBlanc. He's too close to it.
Mm-hmm.
You're too close to it, Sean. Hayes, you're too close to it. This kid sucks shit.
Jesus.
You got to bounce him. He's going to kill the show.
Wait. Is there anything I could do before you make that decision to prove myself before you just bounce me?
Well, we're going to take a vote at the end of the show on whether you're a part of it in the future or not.
Okay.
Do you ever – have you seen Friends?
I watched 5 minutes of an episode, and I don't like it.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
What do you like? What kind of shows do you like?
You could recap something.
The Office, Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Check it out with Steve Brule.
With Steve Brule, mm-hmm. Sure.
Oh, great. Yeah.
That's kind of my zone. Mm-hmm.
That's your zone?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Real shit.
Do you want to recap an Office episode?
Yeah, that could be badass.
And Tom, how about this? You recap an Office episode. Tom can kind of help you through the process,
right. Yeah.
Give you a few pointers, and then we can be nice. We can be helping each
other.
Yeah,
maybe. And then what'll happen? A new podcast will be born. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. Again, I'm not against you. I'm not against you. I like you.
He sucks shit.
Uh huh.
And you have said that we gotta lose him.
He sucks shit on this show.
Oh, okay.
But you think on an Office recap show,
as a person. He seems like an all right guy.
But you think he should be fired?
On this show? Yeah. You got to get him off. He's killing the show. Mm-hmm. Is this what every episode has been like?
No.
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 Just
no.
When you've been here.
Just when I've been here.
Let us do it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. You're right.
That's what we were implying.
Is this what he does on the thing?
We're doing it already.
Kind of.
He takes shots at the guests? Kind of, how's that go over?
In my head, I'm like, this is worse than normal, but it might just be how it normally is.
Yeah.
This is a good episode.
This one is good.
A good one.
This one's good. What other ones have been good lately? This one's a good one.
Are you trying to think of an Office episode that you know a lot
Kevin?
About?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So you start talking about the episode, and Tom will help you get better at doing podcasting stuff.
Okay. And you want to do it together?
Yeah.
Like we're co-hosting it, or am I just giving him advice?
I think maybe you're just giving him advice.
Okay, let's do it.
So then you can sort of say how you would do it.
I'm going to do it as if I'm talking into your ear.
Okay.
So I'm not going to – you just keep talking, though. Just take the advice. Here we go.
Hey, guys. Chef Kevin here, and welcome to the
– Office Hours.
The Office Hours. Today I'm going to be recap.
Is each one an hour long?
Yeah.
It's longer than this show.
It is.
Today, I'm going to be recapping the episode where Michael goes to Chili's with
– What season?
Tim Meadows in season one or two, and he makes a big deal. It's a big episode because he proves to Jan that he's actually a good businessman, even though everyone thinks he's really bad.
Who wrote it? Who directed it?
Michael Schur wrote it.
It's got to be Quampus.
Quampus wrote it.
The Quampus.
Okay. The Quampus wrote it, and Michael Schur directed it.
Okay. Tell him about yourself now. He's got to differentiate from any other Office podcast.
Before we go into this episode, I'd like to just dabble in my personal life.
Don't you say before you go into it, that sounds a little stagey. Just say, hey, it's me.
And Tom, can I give you a tip on the tips
please.
You're giving Kevin? Uh-huh. Well, his name's Kevin, and one of the best characters from the show is named Kevin. So maybe there's one. Kevin's Corner where Chef Kevin tells you about what Kevin from The Office did.
He's talking like Kevin.
From the perspective of a Kevin, yeah.
Great, okay. Talk like you're just like, don't act like you, just act like you're friends with the audience. No, I'm not trying to plug my thing again now, but it's just like you're friends with the audience. Like they've been here before.
Yeah.
It's me again. Say, hey, it's Kevin again.
Hey, so it's me again. Life's going well. I can't complain.
No, nobody cares about your own life in this. This is the Office is what we're focusing on here.
We're focusing on The Office right now. And I want to hop into Kevin's Corner. In this episode,
it's a little early to hop into Kevin's Corner.
It is way too early.
Supplementary bit. A supplementary bit.
Yeah, no, it should. You'll
start with a sidebar.
People should be looking forward to it for a lot of the episodes, so that they actually stick around through a lot of the crap.
It's a great point. Say, in 2 minutes, we got Kevin's Corner coming up, but let me tell you about the episode first.
In 2 minutes, we got Kevin's.
Go back to the beginning, though.
Hey guys, Chef Kevin here, and welcome to an episode of Office Hours.
You sure you want to be Chef Kevin on this? Not a chance to differentiate from Hollywood Handbook a little bit.
Hey guys, it's Kevin Bartel here, and I'm on an episode.
I feel like Chef Kevin's the only thing he has going for him. Yeah. The fact that he's recognized that at all for being
help
that.
A lot.
Go back to Chef Kevin.
Hey guys, Chef Kevin here, and this is an episode of The Office Hours. Today we're going to talk about the episode.
The Office Hours, the ultimate office recap podcast.
Today, hey guys, Chef Kevin here, and today's
every hour on the hour.
Hey guys, Chef Kevin here.
It comes out every hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
It gets for a season in one day.
Wow.
Hey guys, Chef Kevin here, and welcome to the Office Hours, the ultimate office recap show every hour on the hour. It's 2 p.m., and so that means we're going to be talking about the Chili's episode where Michael and Jan have a big meeting at a Chili's. In about 2 minutes, we're going to hop into a Kevin's Corner, so look forward to that. So this episode, you know, it's kind of a turning point for Michael Scott because he
As played by
Steve Carell.
Because you just got to make sure people don't confuse it with – because there's a lot of offices around the world.
Yeah.
Should we say what Steve Carell's from?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Give some of his credits.
You know Steve Carell from 40
– Dan in Real Life.
Dan in Real Life, 40-year-old virgin.
The Freak's Dinner.
And the Freak's Dinner.
Dinner for Freaks.
Dinner for Freaks. This episode of The Office was written by...
It's Dinner for Schmucks, or as I call it, The Freak's Dinner.
Yeah.
This is... you also know him from Dan in Real Life, 40...
And then say, and from Foxcatcher, or as I call it, The Freak's Other Dinner.
You know Steve Carell from Dan in Real Life, Dinner for Schmucks, which I call The Freak's Dinner, or on Fox, which was...
Not on Fox, no, that's a movie.
Oh, Foxcatcher, which I'll call The Other Dinner for Freaks. Mm-hmm. Today's... or Dinner for the Freaks.
The Freak's Other Dinner.
The Freak's
Today's episode
is when Michael and Jan go to Chili's. This was written.
It's not Michael and Jan go to Chili's.
Just shy look up.
It's
the
Michael
title.
Has a client.
Michael has a client, and he goes to Chili's with Jan.
And initially, they're supposed to be at a conference room, and Michael changes the venue to Chili's, and Jan is disgusted with Michael's antics.
In this episode, Michael is supposed to have a meeting with a client in a conference room, but then...
We should probably also make it clear that the show's not sponsored by Chili's. Just from an integrity standpoint, this is not some sort of covert ad placement.
Before I hop into the details of the episode, I just want to let my listeners know Chili's is in no way sponsoring this show. We have no affiliate.
Maybe say a couple of your favorite dishes.
Yeah, because it's a way to lure them in. Mm-hmm. It can actually be.
And maybe make it the Southwestern egg rolls.
Chili's is not sponsoring the show in any way, but you know I am a fan of a couple of their dishes. The Southwestern egg roll.
Yeah, and we may want to describe those as yum diddly umptious there, Chef Kev.
And, you know, I like to call them the yum diddly umptious. Or you can, you know, check out the awesome blossom, extra awesome, which is, you know, something that Michael says later on in the episode. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Chili's, if you're listening.
Now, is the awesome blossom at Outback as well?
That's a little confusing.
That's the Bloomin' Onion.
That's the Bloomin' Onion. Yeah. Great.
I don't
perfect.
Know if they do it anymore at either
Not
place.
To be confused with the Bloomin' Onion.
The Awesome Blossom is not to be confused with the Bloomin' Onion. That's Outback Steakhouse.
And now we get.
And Tom, does Chef Kevin remember who played Jan?
Don't touch that computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, come on.
And I have a guess.
I know the answer, and I do not like the show.
Alora Harding.
That's correct.
Jan is played by Alora Harding.
Oh, God.
And it's written by Qualms. And
the Quampus. He directed every episode almost.
Written and directed by the Quampus. So in this episode, Michael takes a client. Well, they're supposed to have a meeting in a conference room. However, Michael and Jan are supposed to have a meeting with a client in a conference room.
For
their company to see if they'd
Witches.
Be
– Witches.
Dunder Mifflin. They're supposed to have a meeting to see if this
favorite
client, this client,
it's like your favorite thing in the world.
They're supposed to have a meeting with this client to see if, you know, he's interested in
paper
with Dunder Mifflin,
a top paper company in Pennsylvania.
Talk about Scranton.
They're supposed to have a meeting to see.
Are we not going to do Scranton fun facts on the office hours?
Yeah, you have to.
Should I happen at Kevin's corner?
No.
No. Oh, God damn. Kevin.
We're only like 15 seconds in. Sorry. So the Dunder Mifflin. Let's hop into Scranton fun facts. Did you know that Scranton doesn't have a Major League Baseball team? Did you also know that Scranton is.
Is that true?
Do you know that?
I'll look it up, but I think it is true.
Scranton mm-hmm. has the number one car dealership in Pennsylvania, believe it or not. Did you know? And
we don't need three facts.
Yeah, we don't need the editorializing. Just tell us if it has the best car dealership.
I just have to say also, if you're going to do two facts in a thing, then you're making one fact the funner fact, and then one fact is the fun fact. You just say, hey, the fun fact – Scranton doesn't have a baseball team. The funner fact is the thing you said about the car dealership.
And I would maybe swap them.
That's probably
would you, I would maybe swap the facts.
The first one is interesting but not fun.
Swap them.
Here's my quick Scranton facts for you.
Just go back to the plot of the episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jan.
Probably also want to make it clear that the car dealership is not a sponsor of the podcast as well.
I just want to say real quick before I hop back into the episode that the car dealership is not a sponsor.
And I don't think they ever will be one. So you can kind of earn some credibility by really slamming them mm-hmm. and maybe say that their car sucks shit.
Yeah. Say just you bought a car from them.
Merc them.
Yeah.
So I just to let you guys know, this grand dealer car dealership is not we don't have any sort of partnership. They're not an advertiser.
And I bought a car from them.
And just to be honest, I bought a car from them.
And it blew up.
And it blew up. So
I'm lucky to be alive.
I'm truly lucky to be alive.
But some others were not so lucky, right?
Exactly.
But some others were not so lucky.
Six people. Died that day.
It's very – should I take like a moment of silence or something?
No.
And we'll edit it in. We'll edit in the moment of silence.
Yeah.
And the owner of the car dealership.
And the owner of the car dealership.
Is going to be the next one to fall. You know what I mean.
The owner of the car dealership is going to be the next one to fall, if you know what I mean.
And then I mean.
Yeah. And then explain.
And then
explain what you mean.
Go.
Yeah, then say what you mean in your words. You know, make it your own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
And now explain what you mean by that.
I'm going to give you a line reading on this.
Okay.
Let me give you the line reading. And the owner of the car dealership.
And the owner of the car dealership.
Is going to be the next one to fall.
You
know what I mean.
And then say what you mean.
Then that's on you. You put it in your own words.
I'm going to run him over with a car. So the episode begins with Jan and Michael. They're having a miscommunication about the meeting they're supposed to have with the client mm-hmm. who's interested in buying some paper with Dunder Mifflin.
Meanwhile,
Dwight is
what? You tell me.
Meanwhile, Dwight is dealing with Jim and Pam because they're pulling pranks on him. And he does not appreciate
that. I don't even like this show. This is the episode with threat level midnight.
Whoa, awesome. Like, yeah. Pam, meanwhile, Pam and Jim. Jim and Pam, because Jim's a primary character.
Pam's also a primary character.
Yeah,
Jim
should be.
Yeah. It's alphabetical order.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Jim and Pam find in Michael's desk.
Pam and Jim.
Meanwhile, Pam and Jim find.
That hits my ear better, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
You thought of this episode, and to you, it was just about they go to Chili's.
Meanwhile, Pam and Jim find a script that Michael has written called Threat Level Midnight.
A motion picture script.
Screenplay. They all agree that they're going to do a table read of threat level midnight. Meanwhile, should I hop into Kevin's corner?
Michael Skarn.
Michael Skarn. And this is a favorite character you'll probably know called Michael Skarn.
Now it's time to go to Kevin's corner.
You think that's a character? Do you, you know nothing about the show.
That's like – it's a, in the script.
Go to Kevin's corner.
And you may want to say what Stanley's doing.
Phyllis.
Thank you, Angela Kinsey. Yeah.
Do you know who plays Kevin, Kevin?
His last name's Baumgartner, right?
You don't know that his first name is Brian?
Brian Baumgartner.
And do an impression of him. You have to do Kevin's corner as Kevin.
Yeah, let's just get that out of the way. Let's knock out Kevin's corner, and then we can stitch it in anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Kevin's corner. That's a,
draw it out. Draw it out. Welcome to Kevin's corner.
Make a meal of it.
Welcome.
Welcome to Kevin's corner.
It's me, it's Kevin. It's
Kevin.
I'm in accounting.
I'm in accounting.
Is he in accounting?
Yes. In this episode, I...
Well, don't talk about the episode. Do what Kevin would be talking about now in 2018.
In 2018, I just watched the Super Bowl, but...
Do you watch it on tape? This is old.
But I watched it on tape.
Update it.
But I watched it on Vimeo.
That's good.
Yeah.
Slip in that's a Chili's really plug. Slip in a Chili's plug from Kevin.
Are you hungry for lunch? Well, then you got to check out Chili's. Their sides are going to blow your mind.
You can only get lunch commercials from them now? Like, think about that stuff. You know what I mean? You're going to just do lunch commercials for them, and you're leaving a bunch of the big commercials on the table.
Mention the baby back ribs and the margaritas.
You definitely got to check out, for any meal, the baby back, baby back, baby back.
Don't sing the song.
You got to check out the baby back ribs and the margaritas.
Dude, my favorite.
If you're going to do the song, do it like the old 97s guy.
Chili's. Baby back, baby back, baby back. Is that Kevin's corner?
I'll be back next week.
I'll be back next week.
With?
With?
What should he be back next week with?
Well, maybe he shouldn't come back.
Yeah.
Maybe or not.
Say, I mean, he should probably say he won't be back.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He should say, I'm never coming back.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's start. He should say he's never coming back, and he should say, something tells me that car I'm about to drive home in is going to get the job done this time.
Do the end. Do the end now.
This was an episode of Kevin's Corner. I won't be back next week.
No, I will be back next week.
I will be back next week.
After I go get my new car.
After I go get my new car.
From the biggest car dealership.
From the biggest car dealership in Scranton. It'll definitely do the job this time. See you next week.
So just get now to like the big thing that happens in the episode with Michael.
So the big thing that happens in this episode is Michael Scott does – like he makes the deal, and then at the end of the episode, Jan is so like overwhelmed and impressed that her and Michael Scott kiss in the parking lot.
It makes me – it's weird that like – that this one is the one that you zeroed in on, that this was like an exciting episode for you because you saw like two – like when you watched it, it just like stuck with you when Michael and Jan kissed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can you just picture watching that.
Lean into like, it though. Describe that. Mm-hmm. And how
make it erotic. If it's erotic for you, then make it erotic for me.
Yeah. Like what's creepy for me is how you seem to be like underselling your.
You're so detached from this moment that was clearly sort of a formative sexual experience of yours. And it's upsetting because it's, you know, normally that is associated with some kind of passion when it's like the first time you ever, you know, took a nap.
Because we did, you know, we asked you to pick it. They did hundreds of episodes. You zeroed in on the episode where Michael and Jan kissed. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting psychological experiment. Let's take us back to when you first watched the episode and talk about that, what that was like.
The big thing in this episode was when Michael and Jan kiss. I saw this at 14 years old, and let's just say it changed my life sexually. I never saw anyone kiss on screen so intimately, and it opened up a whole new world for me. I became brave and, you know, started talking to women.
How many women? Scale of 1 to 5 boners, how many boners are you going to give it?
Yeah. If I were to give this scene a 1 to 5 boners, I give it 5 boners. That's right.
And how many boners do you give the episode overall?
Overall, I also give the episode 5 boners.
You can't give everything 5 boners.
Okay, 4 boners.
It loses all meaning.
You're right, yeah. You're right. I give the kiss 5 boners, and I give the episode 4 boners.
Yeah. And what didn't you – what lost the boner for it?
What lost the boner for me –
You can't just say four boners and explain why sure, it's not 5.
Sure. What lost the boner for me?
I want the audience to trust you and to really be able to, you know, understand where the boner rating's coming from.
Well, what lost the boner for me was when Threat Level Midnight just got a little too, like, detailed, and it was a good, like, B story, but it wasn't really blowing me away. I kind of wish they focused more on Michael and Jan. Talking to the client about
Christian, as played by
Tim Meadows
from
Saturday Night Live
and
Dinner for Schmucks,
Ladies Man,
Son of Zorn,
and Dewey Cox Walk Hard,
and Goldbergs.
In the Goldbergs, that's what
where he plays. Let's say who he plays.
John Goldberg.
Okay, we just got to get to the I'm feeling like what this needs is like a if he does a character. Right? I like his character work. Mm-hmm.
That's been Kevin, the highlight the for Kevin me so thing, far as
the
well.
The Kevin thing was great, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What if he does a thing where he is a toilet in the Dunder Mifflin men's room?
Oh, and he talks about all the stuff he's seen and who's the stinkiest or whatever.
Yeah. And what's the voice of a toilet that would be in that men's room?
Should I like segue to this? Like,
is that the voice?
I am Tommy the Toilet.
Tommy the Toilet. Oh, that's nice. Tommy the Toilet.
And welcome to Shit Happens.
Oh, so you're just calling. At least make it Tony the toilet, okay?
Hi, I'm Tony the toilet. And welcome to Shit Happens. Today we're talking
the podcast. This is like a sub.
Yeah. The podcast where we talk about who had
what goes on in my world.
What goes on in my world in the Dunder Mifflin.
A toilet in the Dunder Mifflin men's room.
A toilet in the Dunder Mifflin's men's room.
Oh, and P.S. the women's room is broken this week.
P.S. the women's room is broken this week.
So all the women are going to have to be using me. We'll edit
and out. Then you pick how you feel about that. I mean, you can be like, remember, lucky me if you're a creep. Yeah. Or you can be like,
I'm pissed off.
Like twice. Okay. That's okay.
It's a choice.
It's a choice.
We'll go back and fix when you called the company Dunder Mifflin's a minute ago.
Yeah. I thought I was going to have the week off because I thought they were doing construction in the men's room, but nope, turns out the ladies' room. So I got...
You've completely lost the voice.
I got loads of dumps. And let's just say Angela is bringing it.
Wait. Slip a flush in.
What did you say?
Flush?
Flush.
No.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah, but excuse me. Excuse me while I clear my throat and get a big flush.
Yeah.
Excuse me as I clear my throat. Anyway.
And then for a long time make this sound. As the bowl refills. Mm-hmm. And now the float valve is clicking into place in the tank.
That shit happens.
Say,
uh-oh.
You don't get to end it yet.
Here comes.
Who comes in?
Dwight.
Here comes Dwight. Now do Dwight.
And maybe reference what his beet farm does to his bowel movements.
Uh-oh. Here comes Dwight. Oh, man.
But nothing gross.
These beets are really... I feel like a beet is going to come out of me.
Goomp. I mentioned now Backstrom's coming into the bathroom.
Backstrom?
Yeah, and maybe a combo between Backstrom, Dwight, and the rocker.
Hey, it's me, Backstrom, and the rocker.
I'm going to solve the mystery.
I'm going to solve the mystery.
Of this toilet.
Of this toilet.
Go.
Yeah. And maybe the mystery is who clogged it, and maybe Backstrom knows it was him.
Someone clogged this toilet. Oh, it smells like beets. I think it's Dwight.
You lost the voice a little bit.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Is Tony solving the mystery or is Backstrom?
Seems like they could help each other. It could be interesting.
Yeah.
Backstrom asks Tony for...
Now you've got my attention.
Like he interviews him like, what's the
last Backstrom thing? Again?
I thought you liked the show. This is your favorite show and you don't go and support the cast of your favorite show and they go do their next big project. It's because of like people like you. Remember
that Backstrom was a total dick.
Yeah.
Detective.
Man, this beat, he really dropped a beat in here. Maybe it's like a drum beat too or something.
The rocker could do that. That's good, Kevin.
Yeah. Someone really dropped a beat in here, and the rocker goes, boom, tch-cotch, boom, boom, ka. And then Tony rolls his eyes, but it's just like the toilet lever just kind of like, or maybe it's his eyebrows kind of like went up or down.
It's the lid of the tank.
Kind of slants. Lever.
Yeah.
It's just not going to read as an eye roll.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then.
Here comes Moe's. What's Moe's say?
I really got to spray. And then.
And Middle Ditch is busting in now.
And then Middle Ditch comes in.
Here comes Robert California.
Yeah, and Robert California. Hey, are our bowels all synced up? Seems like we all gotta go doo-doo.
It seems like this was the season that Kevin, like that was what he was most excited about, was doing Robert California. Right. It feels like that's when he kind of showed up.
When he got on board. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a decent first episode.
That was good. I will say the toilet thing is a Gilmore Guys segment, so we can't like
use that. Yeah, we can't use that. But I think it's good to have it.
Mm-hmm. It's great for practice, especially you do it in the style of the people that have done it successfully.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, kid, you showed me something.
Thank you. I appreciate your help. You helped me.
I didn't say it was good what you showed me. I was saying I got to say you showed me something, and I still stand by. Yeah, okay, look, I'll put it upon. It's time for you to leave the nest. This office podcast is going to take a lot of time and a lot of focus, and I feel like the Hollywood Handbook thing's probably just going to just clog up too much of your schedule, right?
I like that you put it in terms Tony could understand.
Yeah. Well, I figure he has to come out of the character still, so there's still traces of Tony kind of processing the thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be tough to shake that.
Mm-hmm.
So are you suggesting that Kevin go full-time on The Office thing and then Hollywood Handbook can go back to being, in your conception, just the three of us?
Yeah, just the three of us. The three amigos are back again, right?
I will say that Kevin, the one thing that Kevin does that you do not, that doesn't necessarily show up on mic, is he asks if we want a guest, texts them, and then texts us back that they can't do that.
Okay, well, the one thing I would say is that Kevin can do and has that I don't have is either of your phone numbers. I would have loved nothing more than to have shot you a text and say, I'm in town, guys. When?
Yeah, but it would have to be a guest other than you.
Not really.
If you see yourself as one of the hosts, then you would have to get maybe lose the guest thing.
I'm kind of like, it's kind of like guard forward. Guest host. Like guest slash host. I can sit in either chair. Or both. So, yeah, it was fun doing this. And let's do another one. Like Ernie Banks said, let's play two.
Okay.
Right? So we're going to ramp it up now. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of Hollywood Handbook. We're going to double dip now. We're going to knock another one out. It's a little long. We'll do a longer one on the second go around. So a little bonus round. Probably pull a half hour out of that, slap it up on the premium content. And, thank you. I'll start off. So it's me and Dennis from Sunny. And Dennis, the Menace, and we're listening to the Office podcast. And then Dennis, the Menace, is like, where's Tony the Toilet? And then Dennis from Sunny is like, he's coming up. It's a supplementary segment.
Oh, hang tight. Tom.
What?
No, this is how
what up, what it. Up? Yeah. Hey, everyone. Wow. Thanks for listening to Hollywood Handbook, the free and open source guide to twists and turns of the show business that we call show business.
And it's...
And what fur.
And what a week,
And it's me, Tom. I'm here. And I've got with me... Sean and Hayes are with me this week.
Hi.
Hey.
Let's, so what's been going on in Hollywood that's driving you guys? What's got a bee in your bonnet about Hollywood?
Yeah.
A bee in the bonnet.
What's
what bee do you have in your bonnet? The Oscars are coming up.
Right, yes. And that really steams my clams. I can't believe they're doing the Oscars so soon.
Well, thanks for everyone listening. The Friends podcast is going great. I appreciate you letting me plug it on here. And,
Yeah, okay, okay. Great.
Is that it, the way you
bye.
Said
bye.
Okay. I'm a horny girl wolf. This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Colin Anderson, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com. Ow.
That was a HeadGum podcast.